Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. Here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
What a week! What a week it has been for the Political Cesspool radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, and what a show it was last week. What a show it's going to be tonight. It's the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome to October, Saturday night, October 2nd. And let me just tell you what's been going on over the course of the last 7 days as Keith Alexander joins me here for the first hour tonight, as is his custom here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, the Political Cesspool radio program is streaming live tonight on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and also to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. What has been so significant about the last week in particular? Well, a week ago tonight, we received confirmation from the management of Liberty News Radio Network that so many listeners were tuned in to the interview we did with British National Party Chairman Nick Griffin that our audience blew away the network's ability to distribute the live internet audio stream twice. That means so many people were listening to the show, some people weren't able to log in. It overloaded the system. Now, the overload was only temporary, of course, and was immediately rectified. But I'll tell you what, that is the kind of problem we like to have here on the Political Cesspool. Now, this interruption didn't affect those who tune in on our AM/FM affiliate stations, but it does prove that we had a record-breaking evening with Nick Griffin, member of European Parliament. Now, if you missed that show, our broadcast archives have it available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Simply go to thepoliticalcesspool.org to hear it. And many thanks to all of you who make up such an incredible listenership for this program. Give yourselves right now at the top of the show tonight a much-deserved round of applause. We love you. Now, fast forward from Saturday night with that show to Tuesday evening, where I was a guest this time rather than host on the Jeff Rentz radio program. Now, Jeff Rentz treated me like a king. The interview went wonderfully well. We were received as good as you could be expected. He talked about my courage as a talk radio host, a patriot, one of a kind, plugged the show extensively, as well as my book. Had a great, great night on Tuesday night and enjoyed making the work of the Political Cesspool known to the audience of the Jeff Rentz Show. We talked about the book, talked about the show, talked about some of my articles, talked about the forthcoming video project, and of course we talked about issues of a racial nature. And we had a very, very good time. So I want to thank Jeff Rentz also at the top of the show tonight for having me on as his featured guest last Tuesday. But the biggest thing, as if those two things weren't enough, being on the Jeff Rentz Show and receiving such a warm welcome, shutting down the network because we had so many people tuned in last week, as if that wasn't enough for the week, it all got topped when Rachel Maddow went on her nationally syndicated television program on MSNBC and announced to the world that she is not a fan of the Political Cesspool radio program. That's what she said on TV. And all this time, Keith, I thought we were really starting to make inroads with the radical feminist and lesbian community. But as it turns out, Rachel Maddow doesn't like me. She doesn't like Jim Russell. She doesn't like the Occidental Quarterly or American Third Position or Cast Football. And she doesn't like men either. If for no other reason, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, because at the blog entry at the top of the blog roll discussing Rachel Maddow, we have a picture of her from People Magazine with her girlfriend, who is a 52-year-old behemoth, probably about tipping the scales at about 300 pounds. We're going to do an online poll, and you can determine which one you think is the bull in that relationship. But nevertheless, watch the video. It starts to get really good about 3 minutes in, and the comments are just going crazy on the blog tonight. You got to read what Rachel Maddow – you got to read the comments that you're leaving in response to what Rachel Maddow said about us on television. Keith, what did she say?
Well, with her typical trademark smugness, what she does is she says, you know, all these people are just white supremacists and racists. They're nuts and whatnot, which – basically shows how bankrupt her intellect and her imagination is, because she never confronts any of these issues directly, never even attempts to have something like a debate about them. She just dismisses them. And, you know, just take a look at the picture of her that's on the Cesspool blog right now. If you've ever seen a smug mug in your life, it's her. I mean, she apparently feels that she is so superior to everyone else that is not gay and lesbian and liberal. Then, you know, where are these values coming from, James? This is what we were talking about before the show started today. Somebody like her, a lesbian leaf raker in her late 20s, despite having a very expensive education, she was, reduced to doing yard work. That's how she met her life partner, quote unquote. And they live in Western Connecticut, I believe it said now. But, you know, she is the person that is selected from all of the people that would like to have her job to be rewarded with a high six or low seven figure income a year, and to pontificate about the state of the world and what's right and what's wrong to the rest of America. And she's picked out of all of the people that are in broadcasting to be a role model. She is a offensive, smug, self-important lesbian, liberal. Now, and meanwhile, heterosexual males or females that actually marry one another and raise children.
Traditional Americans, in other words.
And attend church, they're automatically disqualified. You know, the people that get the lagniap, the people that get the goodies in American society, are total and complete off-the-chart perverts like Rachel Madcow.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, she goes into this offensive against yours truly because we have supported Jim Russell. Now, you'll remember Jim Russell is a candidate, the Republican nominee for a congressional seat up there in New England, in New York. And she had done a commentary denouncing Jim Russell, and we, of course, came to his defense. That's where she caught wind of us. I'm sure she had heard about us before then, but she caught wind of us again in our defense of Jim Russell, and then went into a long diatribe denouncing us. And you've got to watch the video as she denounces the political cesspool. She is flailing her arms, literally flailing her arms, wide-eyed, you know, white supremacist this, white supremacist that, racist this, racist that, never once debates the issue, just, you know, total, bankrupt argument of name-calling. And then she also denounces our sponsors, the Occidental Quarterly, American Third Position, and Cast Football. Keith, we've got 30 seconds to break. Do you consider yourself to be a white supremacist?
Not at all. See, this is that's their put-down that is supposed to stop any type of discussion, because they know that if the issues were discussed, Rachel and her ilk would lose. We're not white supremacists. We believe that the elite media today are non-white supremacists, and we're basically white egalitarians. We're trying to get whites the same type of rights and the same type of positions, for example, that Rachel Maddow has. But, of course, that's not going to happen.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this on the flip side. Political cesspool making national news many times over this week. We'll be back in just a moment.
Don't go away. There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I was talking on the phone earlier today before the show with political cesspool co-hosts Bill Rowland and Winston Smith, and I told them, guys, you know, it's so bad now, I have to wear sunglasses even at night to keep my identity concealed. That's how popular the political cesspool is becoming. And that's really not much of an exaggeration. I went through a recap of the incredible amount of media publicity we've received this week alone. You can't even keep up with how much we've received this year. And that is because of the quality of our work, the ability that we have to professionally and surgically articulate our viewpoints absolutely scares the so-called mainstream media to death. They very much fear the work that we're producing here at the Political Cesspool, and it has been nonstop media attention. But they don't understand that, unlike everyone else, we're not weak in the knees. We revel in the fact that they give us this publicity. We take to it like a pig in slop, and we want more of it because we are here to stay, and we are going to stand with flaming sword in hand and advance the cause of paleoconservatism. We speak for traditional Americans, and traditional Americans speak to the Political Cesspool radio program. If you go to this blog entry, which is featured at the top of our page at thepoliticalcesspool.org, Rachel Maddow isn't a fan of the Political Cesspool radio program. You can see all of the many, many, many comments that our fans are leaving in response to this. And, you know, again, she attacked Jim Russell. Just to give you a little more background of this, she attacked Jim Russell for an article that he wrote for the Occidental Quarterly many years ago. And this was, of course, evidence of his so-called racism. He said that it's natural and healthy. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. Basically, he said it's natural and healthy for parents to raise their children in such a way that they would like to reproduce with other members of their own family, not their immediate family. I'm not talking about incest here, but of course, their extended family, their racial family. And of course, this is evidence of his of Jim Russell's white supremacism, even though it's certainly not Jewish supremacism for Jews to mandate that Jews only reproduce with other Jews. And of course, they say this shows that we have a contempt for diversity. But if you really look at it from a logical point of view, aren't we truly the ones that want to advance diversity? If people like Rachel Maddow had their way and the races of mankind just completely mixed together, wouldn't there just be, as a product of that, just one soupy race of mankind? Aren't we really the proponents of diversity? Aren't we really the ones who want to see diversity maintained? I think so, in a very healthy and natural way. But anyway, getting back to it, she spends, you know, this whole segment on her show denouncing the Political Cesspool, Jim Russell, Cast Football, you know, other organizations. But listen to your comments. Here's what you're saying on our blog. I'm going to say this and then toss it back over to Keith. One Political Cesspool listener writes, James, if you were Cast Football, the Occidental Quarterly, or American Third Position, how much you have paid for all of the free advertising that you got? Just as those who disagree with us still listen to the Political Cesspool, surely some who agree with us might be watching her show. Someone should send her flowers and a nice thank you note. Another one writes, kudos for getting the national publicity, James. You're definitely getting the message out. It's time for me to make a donation. And we would certainly welcome that. Another TPC fan writes, what a fabulous validation. If Maddow publicly disliked me, my ego would swell to bursting. My ego's almost there, Keith, almost there. Another fan of the cesspool opines, white people are being genocided in Europe and the United States, and Rachel Maddow is making fun of the people who want to prevent that? Nice job. Oh, and thanks for the free publicity. Another very astute comment, the wicked always hate the righteous. You couldn't have bought better publicity. Another writer mocks the fact that, as we mentioned in the previous segment, Rachel Maddow was raking leaves for a woman who ended up being her future so-called girlfriend just 10 years ago. Raking leaves. And yet she's the one to give us our daily bread. And finally, just very, very quickly, a couple of final comments on this from the blog. Thanks, James, for bringing this to my attention. I've never heard of this person before, and I don't want to hear from her again. And this last guy writes, Lord Jesus, please come back with fire. But Keith, this publicity, obviously bringing more people to the show, that coupled with Nick Griffin, I mean, we had so many listeners last week, they couldn't even all tune in. The Political Cesspool star is rising in a big way, and I'll give it to you for a final word before we move on tonight.
You know, anybody that tunes in MSNBC, which has probably the lowest ratings of any major news organization in America, and gets transfixed against their will by the smug, snarky-looking Rachel Maddow with her sense of smug superiority. All I can say, James, is that they must not have a lot of mirrors around her house, because between her and her life's companion, as they would euphemistically call it, I mean, I don't think you could find a less attractive pair. Why in the world is, you know, just think about it. Elliot Cohen, you're talking about, it's not considered bad form at all for Jewish people to recommend that other Jews marry and have children with other Jews. In fact, Elliot Cohen, who was one of the big shots in the Bush administration, a good son of Israel, wrote a book, and that was the primary premise of the book. But then on the other hand, Rachel Maddow has nothing but contempt for white Gentiles that would suggest the same type of thing for themselves. You know, how does she and her organization get all of this money from people like George Soros or other prominent wealthy leftists to keep on the TV, and the public has no choice but to watch snarky individuals like her and Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann, who basically caused people to...
Now, Keith Olbermann, by the way, the if you want to call him a male, he would be the male equivalent of Maddow at MSNBC. He also did a segment on us earlier this year, but that's been covered.
Yeah, well, just think about it. These people are the margins of society. I mean, you know, if you invited them over to dinner, you'd have to count the spoons when they left. But these are the people that have the big, high-paying positions. Meanwhile, all we have is the audience, and believe me, I believe there are more paleo-conservative white Gentiles in America than there are leaf-raking lesbians like Rachel Maddow. So, you know, but nonetheless, she's rewarded. This, if there's no index or indicator of how sick our mainstream society is, tune in Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann and, you know, be sure to have a barf bag nearby.
Keith, you know, we always get denounced as this, that, and the other. What are we here? What are we truly? We are, as Keith mentioned, paleo-conservatives, but much more than that, if you really want to pare it down, we're traditional Americans. The ideas you hear on the political cesspool are not ideas of hatred or intolerance. They're ideas of self-preservation. We love our family. We love our history and our culture, just like everyone else does, and we want to see it preserved. Now, why does that double standard exist? Well, because they want to destroy Western civilization, those who have taken control of the American institutions, and we don't want that to happen. So if a little name-calling is what we have to endure, then so be it. If that's the price we got to pay, that's not too terrible of a price to pay in order to serve as a leader for the people that you love, and certainly that's what we aim to be here. But nevertheless, if it's not hatred for blacks and Jews and Hispanics to want to preserve and protect their identity, then it's not hatred for us to do the same. It's not hatred for us to have.
We want equality.
That's right. It's not hatred for us to frown upon perversity. It's not hatred for us to frown upon homosexuality. You know, this is a Christian program. I'm sorry. And if the people like Matt Al want to claim that we're haters because we're Christians, then, you know, that's fine too. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you have driven the political cesspool to yet another level. This program is now firmly in the eye of the mainstream media. We're a fixture in national and even international news stories, as we saw once again with Hutton Gibson just a month or two ago in 105 different newspapers we were. We're about to take a break. We're going to come back and get back on an issue that we raised last week, and that is, of course, the school board issue out of South Carolina. Bill Roland and I covered it a bit in the second hour last week. We're going to revisit that issue with Keith Alexander, get his take on it, when the political cesspool returns. So stay tuned. We're just getting started.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Last comment from Keith Alexander before we move into the issue that we originally raised last week about the fine lady in South Carolina who listens to this program that's having problems with the way her fifth grade daughter's class is teaching history. We're going to get to that, but first, a final word from Keith.
I was reading your blog entry on Rachel Maddow, and apparently Rachel gets mad when anyone suggests that she has some Jewish heritage to her bloodline. Now, what's the problem with Jews? The only problem that we have with Jews is that Jews tend to be the most liberal segment of the white population. 80% typically vote for the Democratic candidate for the president of the United States in an election, and that's, I think, it's a pretty good self-indicator of whether you're a liberal or not. And, of course, we're conservative, and we consider liberals to be the enemy. So, Rachel, that's it in a nutshell. But then, on the other hand, we're not the only people to recognize Jewish power and influence. In fact, recently, Rick Sanchez, in a case of dueling minorities, Rick is a newscaster and commentator for CNN.
Or he was.
And he wound up getting fired because he decided to take issue with Jon Stewart, who is Jewish, and also a commentator and kind of half-baked comedian to boot, when he was making derogatory and mocking comments about Sanchez. And Sanchez said that, you know, this guy doesn't like anybody being in the media except people like him. So, you know, I guess Rachel can add Rick Sanchez to her list of official enemies, along with the political cesspool. But what was he saying? He said specifically that, you know, what that nobody doesn't get a job in the mainstream media today because they're Jewish. And for saying that and making that observation, saying that the idea of Jews being an oppressed minority in America is absurd, which it is, he was let go. You know, you might hear him late at night on some high-frequency broadcast beamed out from some megawatt station in Mexico, but as far as the mainstream media in America, he's history. And he's history because he's a victim of Jewish power and influence, James.
Well, Keith, once again, we're proven right here on the political cesspool, but what's new? Now, back to a story that we originally covered last week. Keith Alexander was actually the co-host of this program that was slated or assigned to cover this story last week, but then at the last minute, Nick Griffin was available to appear. We bumped it. Bill Rowland got a crack at it in the second hour last week. Now we're coming back full circle to cover it with Keith. And it's a very important question that I'm sure many of the parents in our listening audience have been faced with. What do you do when your children are forced to recite lies at school in order to get a passing grade on certain tests? And this is what one of our listeners write. Dear James, I know you're extremely busy, but I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how to approach my local school board about how they're teaching Reconstruction. My daughter is in fifth grade. She had to read the book 40 Acres and Maybe a Mule. What an anti-white hate-filled book. Not only that, the way they teach Reconstruction is so maddening. Now, this lady from South Carolina has prepared a very factual, well-documented presentation that she is going to present to her school board and the principals and teaching administration at her school. She says that it's going to be historically accurate, not anti-black, but it will show that northern extremists, not white southerners, caused most of the problems during that time, you know, that time being Reconstruction. She concludes her letter to me by writing, "How dare they teach southern children to be ashamed of their heritage? It makes my blood boil, and mine too. I plan on sending this all ahead of time to the local media. Obviously, I'm nervous. Any tips you can give me?" And like I said, these are very important questions. How many of you listening tonight have been faced with a similar scenario? And the question to you, Keith, is this. What should you do when your children are forced to recite lies and disrespect their family in order to get a passing grade? And how would you best take advantage of an opportunity to address your local school board on a matter such as this?
Well, James, normally I would say you've got to go with the flow. Unfortunately, we as conservatives have to hide our lights under a bushel or else we're going to get failing grades. And the failing grades just make the typical liberal mantra that conservatives are dumb a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say the truth, for example, about a topic like Reconstruction and put that on your test answer or in your essay, you're going to be graded down for it, if not given an absolute F. And then the left can say, see what we told you? The reason that conservatives don't have positions of authority or power in America is because they're dummies. They're not brilliant people like Rachel Maddow, who got a Rhodes Scholarship and went to Stanford basically because she was able to recite liberal claptrap with enthusiasm because she was addle-headed enough to believe it. Now, look, Reconstruction was the period from 1865 until 1877 subsequent to the Civil War, in which the South was basically placed under martial law. And the name is very important. You know, it's called Reconstruction. The typical approach that to the period and the typical mantra of the historians originally was that this was intended to rehabilitate the South economically. Then there was a period in which Reconstruction was seen as being the invention of a lot of mendacious, evil haters in the North trying to punish the South for the Civil War. That was the prevalent thinking around the time of the movie Birth of a Nation around 1915. And the Ku Klux Klan was a protective organization, kind of like the Southern answer to Zorro in that movie. Then liberals have taken over since the 1950s in America, and you've seen the opinion of the historians change to being in line with Jewish supremacist Howard Zinn, who has written, you know, is probably one of the primary authorities for liberal textbooks today. And of course, in this, this was nothing but white Southern haters finding a way to persecute poor, innocent, pure as driven snow black people in the aftermath of the Civil War to make sure that the advances that they rightfully expected to find in their circumstances did not come to pass. Well, first of all, let's attack the main idea behind the liberal approach to the Civil War and to Reconstruction. What liberals want you to believe is that slavery was the cause of the Civil War. And anybody that doesn't believe that is just either one, mentally ill, two, a hateful racist, or three, a combination of the above. The actual reason for the Civil War, remember, the North didn't secede from the South seceded from the North. And the reason they did it was not anything as esoteric as slavery or as altruistic as slavery. The reason that the war was fought was over economic issues, particularly protective tariffs that had been imposed on the South since 1824, and in particular, the Morrell tariff. Now, how many of you or your children have ever heard of the Morrell, that's M-O-R-R-I-L-L, tariff, that was passed, sponsored by a Senator Morrell of Vermont and co-sponsored by Thaddeus Stevens, the notorious radical Republican leftist ideologue from Pennsylvania, in 1860. That raised the tariff rates to 50%. Now, tariffs work to what a tariff is, it's a specific tax on imports. And most of the exports in the antebellum United States came from the South. In fact, 80% of the exports to other nations came from the South, particularly in terms of things like agricultural products, and of course, chief among those was cotton. Now, we in the South did not have a manufacturing base. New England did. The protective tariffs, what the protective tariffs wound up doing was enriching the North, because they made foreign governments like Britain and France retaliate with tariffs of their own. So consequently, we had to pay more for the manufactured goods. We either had to get manufactured goods, about 20% of them, from the North, from New England, and everything else we had to buy from Europe, and the European products were very expensive because they were subject to a tariff. Meanwhile, it made foreign nations not want to buy the cotton and other agricultural products of the South because they felt that the American government was very, had a chip on their shoulder against them, and as a result, they did not want, they looked elsewhere whenever they could to get their goods. So that's the basis. It was an economic problem, and we're going to follow up on the other side of this break and tell you exactly how that worked its way out in Reconstruction.
And we're going to hear from the lady who wrote the letter. All that and more coming up right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, I think, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, by the way. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here with you for the first hour of tonight's live broadcast of the political cesspool. What I was going to say was, I think that white Southerners should take the Republican Party at their word when they say that they hate us. They've always hated us, going back to the days of the war between the states and all the way through present day. Look at how they're treating Jim Russell. He won their party's nomination to be their congressional candidate, trying to get him thrown off the ballot because he said that it might be healthy and natural for whites to stick with their natural family when choosing a marriage partner. I mean, how common sense is that? That's what every, you know, racial group wants for themselves, right? But it's not hatred when they say it. Nevertheless, man, big week for the cesspool. Big week. Jeff Rentz, Rachel Maddow, Nick Griffin. Got a lot coming up tonight as the program continues. Merlin Miller of Americana Pictures will be with us at the top of the second hour. But first, getting back to the topic at hand, we received a great letter from a great fan, a great listener of this program, Leah, in South Carolina. She has problems, as you know, with the way her child's fifth grade history class is teaching social studies. And one of the biggest qualms she has is the way they're teaching Reconstruction. Now, Keith was giving us a little history about the war between the states. And now we actually have Leah on the line, and she is going to ask a question of Keith Alexander, and he is going to respond in kind. Leah?
Hi, thanks for having me back this week.
You're quite welcome. This is Keith Alexander, Leah.
Hi, Mr. Alexander. I guess my two big questions are, I know it might be just wasting my time, but I'm still determined to go before the school board. And my question would be, how should I approach them so that they might possibly listen and pay attention? And also, how should I approach the press so that they don't totally twist my words? I know they probably will put their little liberal spin on my words, but how should I approach the press and the school board both so that I am effective when I go there?
Well, the best answer I can give you to that, Lee, is to approach them directly. Listen carefully to their question and answer their question. Now, they're going to try to give you loaded questions, and you need to be loaded with an answer to respond with in order to be effective. Now, let's talk about Reconstruction generally. Reconstruction is probably being portrayed in your daughter's fifth grade class as a horrible time when mendacious Southern racist whites put their jackbooted feet on the necks of black people and drove them down and set up the prelude to racial segregation and Jim Crow laws and things like that. But you need to understand that Reconstruction was imposed by not just the North, but by radical Republicans, in other words, a political party, on the Democrat South. Now, radical Republicans were in charge after the Civil War, and the more radical parts of the Republican Party, people like Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner, were the people that actually had the power back then. And like all political parties, the radical Republicans wanted to stay in power. They knew that if the South could not be remade into a region of political vassal states to the radical Republican cause, the Republicans would lose their national power, because there were enough Democrats in the North which, if linked with all the Democrats in the South, the radical Republicans would be a permanent minority party, and they wanted to prevent that. So
you're saying I need to give them a little history lesson?
Yeah, exactly. Well, just listen to their question. Listen to their question, and if they ask you a question, respond directly. Now, the radical Republicans,
I'm going in there with all kinds of information that I could give them in a little handout that would give that.
Well, the thing is, there's really no easy way to do this, Leah. You're going to have to. It's like studying for an exam. It's going to be a lot more effective if it comes from your mouth, rather than saying, here, read this.
You're going to have to.
It's just like your child going to school. you're going to have to master the subject if you want to, you know, take this on. At least that would be my opinion, and that would be my advice to you.
Oh, I've read extensively, and I've got
Well, that's what we need you to do.
File cabinet full of stuff I've read. So.
Well, there's a good publication that you can get for like $7.95 over the internet. It's called The Uncivil War by Mike Scruggs, Truths Your Teacher Never Told You. Now, I don't think I would hand that out to the people, but I would certainly use that as a kind of a script to use when you're talking about Reconstruction. See, Reconstruction, the people that were oppressed in Reconstruction weren't blacks. The people that were officially oppressed by the government were white Southern ex-Confederates.
Yes.
For example, Wendell Phillips, a famous abolitionist, said from the pulpit of Henry Ward Beecher's church in Boston, "I do not believe there will be peace until 347,000 men of the South are either hanged or exiled." Okay?
Yep.
Now, that type of thinking was not uncommon among radical Republicans and abolitionists. In fact, the type of people that they chose to govern the South back then during Reconstruction were like Parson Brownlow, William P. Brownlow, an East Tennessean who was governor of Tennessee during the Reconstruction era. He had a newspaper he called the Rebel Ventilator, and by ventilating rebels, he meant shooting bullet holes through them. He said this, "I would like to see the Negro troops under Ben Butler crowd every rebel into the Gulf of Mexico and drown them as the devil did the hogs in the Sea of Galilee." See, the hatred was coming not from ex-Confederates to the blacks. It was coming from the Union Leagues, the Loyal Leagues that were formed by the Radical Republicans against the ex-Confederates. And the Ku Klux Klan was a reaction to Union League violence and oppression in the Reconstruction period. Now, do you have any specific questions?
No, sir. Those were my two main questions, how to approach so that they would hopefully pay attention and listen to what I had to say.
Well, just be very well versed, and I would get I would write this down, The Uncivil War by Mike Scruggs.
Yes,
Truths Your Teacher Never Told You. That will, and it has a whole section on Reconstruction, and I mean, this fellow Scruggs really sets it out succinctly and has little bullet points that you can use. I think you'd find it very helpful.
Wonderful. I appreciate it. I will get that.
Okay, Leah, thank you so much, and thanks for listening to The Cesspool. Here you go, James.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that's why Keith Alexander is featured on this program for a minimum of a solid hour each and every week, unless Nick Griffin comes on, of course. Unless Nick Griffin comes on. Keith Alexander is simply one of the best assets that the traditional American, and, you know, that's really what I'm going to start pushing that we call ourselves, those of us who, you know, advance paleoconservative ideas. We are traditional Americans. And Keith Alexander is one of the most well-spoken traditional Americans I know. And that's a fact. And so hopefully tonight's first hour has been entertaining and informative for you. We certainly want to bring you an entertaining and informative show each and every week here on our broadcast. Entertaining was the part where we continued to make all this big news as a result of our work, and informative, hopefully you were informed by some of the historical truths and commentary presentation that Keith brought to you just a moment ago. Keith, I got about a minute or two before we're going to take our first break, our bottom of the hour break. We will be joined by Merlin Miller, film director and founder of Americana Pictures after the break, but I want to give it to Keith for a quick 30-second wrap-up and sign off.
See, just about everything that your child is going to learn about Reconstruction or the Civil War or the run-up to the Civil War in an American history class today is the exact opposite of the truth. The Ku Klux Klan wasn't born to oppress blacks. It was born to protect white ex-Confederates from the depredations of the Union Leagues, the Loyal Leagues, the Freedmen's Bureau, and the Union troops that were stationed in the South for martial law. Yeah, it was, you know, before the 60s, you didn't, you know, hear all of this, but with the rise of liberalism and the civil rights movement, basically all history had to be converted and transformed so that it followed this litany of liberalism. So you're right, you've got to question everything you hear from a modern history textbook. And that's why it's so wonderful when groups like the Texas School Board said, we're not going to allow this to be taught in our schools. We're going to have input in it, because Texas is such a large state that all of these textbook publishers, what the Texans want is going to find its way into these textbooks, hopefully. And Leah, keep fighting the good fight.
Keep fighting the good fight in South Carolina. They're doing it in Texas. We're doing it in Tennessee and around the world here on this radio program, and we will continue to do it until God himself calls us home. Facts are facts, ladies and gentlemen, and we attempt to bring you the facts and the truth here on this show every broadcast. Going to take a break. Merlin Miller of Americana Pictures is going to be with us, as will co-host Winston Smith. Stay tuned.
1 hour down and two to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah! Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the